You are listening to sermons from Bethesda Lutheran Church. This Sunday was January the 13th, and Pastor Tom preached from Luke chapter 4.
Please stand as you are able for the reading of the gospel. From the fourth chapter of the gospel of Luke, glory to you, O Lord. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, Jesus went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And Jesus rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" Jesus said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Doctor, cure yourself.' And you will say, 'Do here also in your hometown the things we've heard you did at Capernaum.' And Jesus said, 'Truly I tell you, no prophet is accepted in the prophet's hometown. The truth is, there were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a severe famine over all the land. Yet Elijah was sent to none of them except to a widow at Zarephath in Sidon. There were also many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha. None of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian." When they heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with rage. They got up, drove Jesus out of the town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they might hurl him off the cliff. But he passed through the midst of them and went on his way. The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please have a seat. So this year we've gathered our thoughts around this ministry theme for the year, stepping with the Spirit into new ventures. And I said it last week, it's pretty obvious that there's some new ventures around here. Next Sunday will be Pastor Steve and Pastor Sarah's first Sunday with us. Their installation service will be the second weekend of February, more on that to come. There are new ventures underway, but it's not just pastors. But instead, this morning, I'm wondering, what does it mean to step with the Spirit? Because the Holy Spirit doesn't leave footprints, doesn't leave a trail of breadcrumbs. Sometimes we're not sure if we're following the right Spirit or not. So what does it mean to step with the Spirit into these new ventures? This morning, we've heard the story of Jesus' inaugural message. I think it's important to point out that we're going to be in the Gospel of Luke for the next several Sundays through Easter. And Luke's Gospel has a particular emphasis on the Spirit. He's always talking about the Spirit. And then in the sequel to the Gospel of Luke, which is the book of Acts, Luke continues to tell the story of the Spirit. He's all about focusing our attention on what the Spirit is up to. And I want to recall a sermon from last year in which I described the Holy Spirit as Jesus' wingman. The Holy Spirit is God's presence with us and for us so that we would meet his friend Jesus. The Holy Spirit is present in our lives when we recognize who Jesus is, when we receive him as our Lord, when we respond to him in lives of service and grace. This is what the Spirit's up to. But what does it mean to step with the Spirit? In a few weeks, President Obama is going to give his second inaugural address. And in that address, he's likely to lay out some of his hopes and plans for a second term. He's looking to the future. He might describe some things in the year to come, some things that he hopes to accomplish in the 4 years he has left as president, and he may hope to build a foundation that lasts for many years after he's out of office. He's looking to the future with his inaugural address. But in our gospel text, Jesus gets up, reads the scroll, and then he sits down. And he says, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Jesus announces himself, the inauguration of God's year of favor, announces himself as God's chosen candidate, full of the Holy Spirit, announces his platform to bind up the brokenhearted and to free the captives and give sight to the blind and preach good news to the poor. He says all this, and when he sits down, he says, today it's been fulfilled in your hearing. The first question I had looking at the text is, what exactly did he fulfill that day? God had already sent his son to the world. We celebrated that on Christmas. That's already been fulfilled. Jesus already came to the River Jordan, was baptized by John, and filled with the Holy Spirit in a special way. We read that last Sunday. That had already been fulfilled. Jesus had already begun a bit of his public ministry, running around Galilee, preaching the good news. We read that this morning at the very beginning of our gospel. That's already been fulfilled. So what does Jesus mean when he says, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing? Were there no more captives, no more blind, no more oppressed, no more poor looking for good news? What was fulfilled that day as he said it? Jesus, perhaps this will get us into it a little further. When Jesus says today the scripture has been fulfilled, he adds the line, in your hearing. It's been fulfilled in your ear. And we begin to see that before God works through us in the world, before God brings about his new thing, God is first going to plant his word in our ear. That the ear is the first and primary and original organ of the Christian. Before our feet begin stepping with the Spirit into new ventures, before our heart learns to love the Lord our God with all that we are, before our mind can study the Word in its entirety and wrap our minds around historical and scientific evidence for faith, before our hands can serve others in such a way that perhaps we become worthy to be called a Christian, before any of our organs get put to use, God finds our ear and fulfills his word in our hearing today. Today. He's so insistent about the word today. Jesus has no patience for those who would live their life like I got through college, by the motto, why put off until tomorrow what could be done the day after tomorrow? He will not have any patience for this. Today the word is fulfilled in our hearing. Today the word. You will not become a more faithful Christian tomorrow. We will not become a more vibrant church tomorrow. Not even next week with new pastors. We can only become more faithful or be a vibrant church today. The word of God can only be fulfilled in our hearing today. Tomorrow we have dreams, sure. But God can only work with us right here and right now. Is the word of God fulfilled in our ears today? Let me give another example from a president. I finally saw the Lincoln movie, loved it. And Lincoln understood kind of what's going on here. Lincoln, in 1862, in the middle of the war, by his own authority that he believed himself to have in a time of war as president, declared the Emancipation Proclamation, that all slaves would be henceforth and forevermore free. When he made that proclamation, there were a lot of people, especially in the South, who didn't even know he said that. And there were a lot of local and regional powers all over that resisted that statement. But Lincoln said it, put that word in the ears of his audience, because he knew that before the word could ever be fulfilled in the world, it had to be fulfilled in our ear. It had to capture the hearts and the attention of people. He knew that if he could just plant the word in the ear and fulfill it in the hearing, that would take root and freedom would spread. In fact, He would even say that freedom of the slaves is true and real, even while the shackles are still on the wrists. His second inaugural address carries on the same sentiment. He gave this about a month before he was assassinated. And in the second inaugural address, he says something beautiful maybe to us now, but absolutely difficult to process for the people at the time of war. He says this. Both of us, North and South, read the same Bible, pray to the same God, invoke God's aid against the other. And further on, he says, with malice toward none, with charity toward all, with firmness in the right as God gives us to see the right, let us strive on to finish the work we are in, to bind up the nation's wounds, to care for him that has borne the battle, and for his widow and his orphan, to do all which may achieve and cherish a just and lasting peace among ourselves and with all nations. What is he saying? He's saying, let me put a word in your ear today. While we are still divided North and South, while we are still divided slave and free, let me put a word in your mouth that says, when this war is over, we will have malice toward none and charity toward all, that we together will live according to the vision that I say today. Easier said than done, of course. But his vision was, there aren't going to be parades and hangings of the rebel president and his people. We're going to move forward in charity and jointly restore the nation. Now, we know that Lincoln was assassinated just a month later, because his vision was so bold, not only that North and South could be reunited without the South paying for the rebellion, not only that, but that slaves would be free, that they had been declared constitutionally liberated. And for this, Lincoln was killed. Jesus gives an inaugural address, and before and while there are still people in all kinds of circumstances, says to the audience in Nazareth, this word is fulfilled in your ear, in your hearing. But when Jesus goes on to describe that God's favor isn't just for Israel, that just like in the time of the prophets, there are people outside of God's people who are going to receive the favor and the blessings of God. As soon as his hometown crowd realized he was not going to play favorites in the hometown, they wanted nothing to do with Jesus. He too was rejected. They would have assassinated him had they the strength. Jesus, who inaugurates his ministry by declaring the freedom and the good news for the poor and the captive, received the Holy Spirit in his baptism in a special way, and in just a couple of short years would hang from a cross and say to his Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. Back to you. And before Jesus would commend his spirit and make his final breath, Jesus turned to a thief hanging next to him on his own cross, and he brought that word back again, today. Today, he says to the thief, you will be with me in paradise. And I can imagine for that thief, as he continued to hang, to suffer, and to die, I can imagine that thief felt as free as a bird because the word of Christ was planted in his ear. It was fulfilled in his hearing, and he knew that for a time he was suffering, but he was already free because the word of Christ had captured him. Bethesda Lutheran Church, it is upon us to step with the Spirit into new ventures. And before we step, we first hear the rhythms of grace playing a tune in our ears. We hear God's word fulfilled in our hearing today so that we can step with the Spirit into all the rest of the todays to come. Wherever people are set free from addiction or bondage, set free from the power of sin, there we are stepping with the Spirit. wherever the poor in our midst call looking for help. And we get to tell them about the Love Fund that supplies emergency assistance. And they say, "You're the first church I've called today that actually has funds to help." Then we are in step with the Spirit. When people living without hope, who see loved ones suffering or declining, or who have put loved ones in the grave, and all they can see is the captivity of the grave, when we declare, "Put this word in your ear, your loved one shall live again and forevermore," then we are in step with the Spirit. We don't know what new ventures are before us in detail, but we can step with the Spirit only today. And tomorrow that word needs to be planted in our ear so that tomorrow we can as well step with the Spirit. May God's name be holy. May God's kingdom come. May God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray this today. God gives us our daily bread today. Let's step out together. Let's follow the Spirit. Of course it's an exciting time at Bethesda. Of course we're glad that ministry and mission is expanding. But I hope you realize that this is a challenge for us now. This is a challenge for each one of us. Because today is the only day God's word can be fulfilled in your ear. Today is the only day we have. So let's follow the Spirit. Let's see in ways that we see coming and expect, in ways that we just run into and we realize without even knowing it that God has something before us in our path. Let's pray. Lord, send us your Spirit so that we could have your word in our ear, that in simply hearing your word of who you are and what you've done and what you will do for the world, that simply hearing it will cause us to act and to step out differently today. Help us to not get complacent and to have big dreams for tomorrow if it means that we forget to hear your word today and to serve and to love one another today. May this ministry that you inaugurated in your hometown in Nazareth, may this ministry continue today in our hearing and in our feet stepping with you as we follow your Spirit into new ventures. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.